I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of The Memo. It is Monday, August 8th. I'm Derek Russell, joined by Brad Locke. How you doing, Brad?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. What are you doing?
I tried to do a Bob Dylan. That didn't work out.
It's terrible.
You're much better at it.
Yeah. Why were we talking about Bob Dylan?
We were talking about Bob Dylan off the air. And I don't know how we got on.
I don't remember how we got on.
We were talking about somebody's coming to...
Kenny Rogers.
I'd go see Kenny Loggins.
Kenny Rogers is coming to the Orpheum.
I'd go see Kenny Rogers.
And I was like, hey, Bob Dylan's coming to Jackson.
Yeah, I got an email. Kenny Rogers' final world tour.
Who's Kenny's
final.
Well, he's like 80, isn't he?
Yes, but he has the skin of a 40-year-old.
He sure does.
They pull it back and he talks like this.
Been in a tannin bed, too.
The Gambler's Last Deal Tour, October 7th at the Orpheum Theater in Memphis.
How old is Kenny Rogers?
Linda Davis. He's 104.
He's looked like he's 60 since like 1980.
Kenny Rogers is...
I mean...
Vamp.
Is what?
77. Oh, okay. I'm vamp. I'm
77? That's
77.
Wow.
He will turn 78 this month.
His beard has been white as long as Steve Martin's hair has been white.
As long as Brad's been alive.
Yeah.
Just pretty much, yeah. Oh, Kenny Rogers.
Yep.
I like me some Kenny Rogers.
I still don't understand how we got on Bob Dylan from that, but...
Because I mentioned Bob Dylan's coming to Jackson.
Oh, and I said he came to Tupelo several years ago.
Yeah, he did.
That's
right. Way back when.
I'd enjoy him to come back to Tupelo. It was a good show.
You got to meet him, huh?
Good show. I did. Yeah.
What was he like?
He talked like this.
So he talks the way he thinks?
Pretty much. No. That's an oversimplification. That's not at all how he.
That's what the best impressions are, is oversimplifying.
Yeah. Christopher Walken doesn't normally talk like that. You know?
William Shatner actually does talk like this.
Doesn't give emphasis. This could all be bad impressions, this whole show.
I can't do impressions at all.
We've got more important things.
As you can tell, y'all have heard my British accent. It's
No, please do.
No, I've done it before.
We're not doing it again. No, I'd like to.
Nope.
I need a refresher.
It's Monday.
That's not British.
I'm not doing a British accent.
Well, Caleb Bedillion's going to be joining us as well as Bobby Harrison. also, I almost said Crime Lab. I don't know why.
Call it that. I'd like
Brad
to guess.
That's our segment where Brad Locke puts on a lab coat and tries to act like a
crime scene investigator.
Some of the people in these crime reports, I'd like to have their brains examined in a lab to see what makes them tick.
No. That got kind of dark there.
Suspense.
No. Just like, why do they act this way?
I don't know.
Like, really? It's just, we got a bunch of hoodlums on the crime reports today, as we do most weeks. Bunch of ruffians. Bunch of ne'er-do-wells.
Anything to speak of?
Oh, you know, no Morville people, no Woods people, I don't think.
Anybody, you heard about the guy that got beheaded, didn't you?
No.
It's not a way to get ahead in life.
Sorry. I'm going to pay royalties for that.
No, it was under 7 seconds. We're good.
Okay.
Explain to you how this works.
That's why he was looking at his watch while he was playing it.
We're fine.
No, we've got a guy yelling at cars. We've got that.
Yes.
So
was it
fun.
You?
No, it was not me.
Was it Chris?
It might have been.
Oh. Find out at the end of the show.
Awkward.
He just made bail this morning. Just in time to do the
show.
They
gave him the haircut in prison.
Nice haircut, Chris. Where's your prison tat?
We're going to go ahead and get started this morning. Caleb Bedillion joining us now. We're discussing community-oriented policing in the Tupelo area, or whether that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Well, I think everyone... Oh, by the way, thanks for having me on today.
Yeah, well, thanks for coming on.
But everyone agrees it's a good thing. Can't really find anyone that's against community policing, at least that'll talk to me about it. But, you know, we've had, in the wake of some of the controversy over the June police shooting of Antoine Shumpert, you know, we've had a lot of concern in the community, at least among some in the community, about the police department. We've got this kind of organization, the Coalition of Concerned Pastors and Leaders, that wants some police reforms, and they've been asking for a citizens review board and community policing. It's been one of the things they've been talking about. And, you know, I spoke with elected officials and law enforcement about community policing. And I mean, Mayor Shelton, for one, was quite frank that they were not entirely sure what to do with these demands for community policing, because in his view and in the view of the law enforcement leadership, Tupelo is doing community policing and has been doing it since the early to mid 90s.
You gave a good definition, according to the Department of Justice, in your story that community policing involves community members as active allies and partners with law enforcement. I think one of the things this has come out of is the Concerned Pastor Coalition that have been asking for this, correct?
Mm-hmm. Right, indeed. And as you said, community policing, a kind of a philosophy of law enforcement that tries to be more proactive. Let's address the causes of crime instead of just coming in and arresting people after the crime has been committed. And it's also a philosophy that tries to view the police department as an active member in the community that partners with other community agencies, rather than kind of being this outside enforcer. It's really trying to cultivate a sense of partnership. And yeah, so law enforcement talked to me about some of their efforts, their initiatives. You know, early on, they did the bike patrol thing, and that's something the coalition kind of wants to see come back. Mm-hmm. I'm told they kind of discontinued that because there was concern that it just wasn't that efficient because Tupelo is just not that urban. For example, they tried the bike patrol up at the Barnes Crossing Mall area, mm-hmm. and found that they spent more time loading the bikes into cars and going from area to area and then getting them out rather than actually patrolling with the bikes.
Right.
But it's something they think is effective for festivals like Gumtree Festival and things like that. Now, I mean, Chief Aguirre admitted that it's kind of been mothballed right now, but said he is willing to consider looking into some revival to a certain extent of the bike patrol.
Is there anything like that that the coalition has asked for, like the bike patrol, or there other items specifically that are being requested?
Yeah, I mean, the coalition has specifically, they put forward three suggestions. One was a partnership that would see pastors introduce patrol officers specifically to members of perhaps the community they serve, just to help those patrol officers build those relationships. They also had suggested that patrol officers could, you know, volunteer to, on their time, deliver a sermon at a church or lead Sunday school, presumably, you know, a church that they don't usually go to, so right. that they could build new relationships. And they'd also discussed seeing, you know, community leaders and pastors ride along with patrol officers to learn a little bit more about, you know, what patrol officers go through, and so that they could provide some insight to the community that the patrol officer is, you know, driving through. Now, Chief Aguirre told me the department does have a ride-along program. Basically, anyone, if you're interested, can apply. And if you pass the background check, they usually let you ride a half shift. So that would be 6 hours with a patrol officer, just so you can, now you have to stay in the car. So if they actually go to a call, you don't get to get out and be in the middle of the action. But you get to ride. So, I mean, if they go on a call, you do ride there in the car with them.
And sit in the back with whoever they pick up. Sorry, Brad, background check. You won't be able to do that.
So
well, I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, Chief Aguirre's like, you know, we do have this ride-along program, you know. What James Hull, spokesman for the coalition, told me is, you know, he just recently did find out about that ride-along program and doesn't think that it's really been publicized because he didn't really know anyone that knew about it. So that is one thing that James Hull is telling me is, okay, we've taken a look at this. We're willing to say the city has made over the years a good faith effort, or the words he used, a good faith effort to implement community policing. But he would like to see a little bit more of that, perhaps a little bit better communication about some of the efforts that the city has, in fact, undertaken.
Community on patrol. Was that Police Academy 3 or 4? It was one of those. I don't remember which one. Piggybacking off of that, you talked about in another story, body cams are back on track for Tupelo Police Department. Something been up and down for the past few years.
The city council approved the purchase of these cameras in December. They were apparently ordered from the company WatchGuard in January, and then they actually arrived in Tupelo the week of March 21st, is what I'm told. Law enforcement soon discovered that the cameras that arrived are not the cameras they thought had been ordered. WatchGuard, the company that sold Tupelo the cameras, the body cameras, also makes a dashboard camera, and the city already had some of those. And so they wanted, WatchGuard offers a seamless system where the dashboard cams and the body cams will interact, and it can be downloaded together so you can, you know, look at multiple angles of the same incident. And these body cams interact with the dashboard cams, also wirelessly download, so you don't have to, like, plug the body cam into a docking station. And manually download the footage. They wirelessly transmit anytime the body cam is connected to a Wi-Fi network. Those aren't the cameras that arrived, though. So, you know, there was some discussion with the company. You know, we didn't. This doesn't appear to be what we thought we were getting.
Right.
They went back and forth. Bit of a dispute drug out for a while. Eventually, the company, I am told, said to the city, well, look, those cameras you want aren't even going to be available until July or August. And they're going to cost an additional $12,800 beyond the, I believe, $97,000 the city had already paid. Now, Mayor Shelton is not too happy, thinks basically that the company is not doing right by the city. But in the interest of getting the body cams in action as soon as possible, they are going to pay the extra money, but then potentially look into some action to recover that money later. But the short version is the cameras are supposed to arrive, the correct ones, sometime in August and be in use sometime in September. We'll see how that goes.
What was the initial cost for these cameras?
$97,000. Approximately $97,000 and some change.
And they're wanting almost $13,000 more.
Yeah. Because apparently these are, you know, better, you know, higher model, higher functioning model. And obviously there is some disagreement about what was actually originally ordered. What Mayor Shelton told the council is, we believe we should have gotten the cameras we thought we were ordering at the original price. The city attorney is investigating the matter.
But the stuff that they already ordered and that they have in hand is useless?
They sent it back, yes.
Oh, they sent it back.
Yeah, because you were going to have to manually download the footage.
Uh-huh.
And I believe the company was saying that if they went ahead and put those cameras into use, they were stuck with them and would have to start all over with buying the new ones. So what they did is they sent the first batch. They returned it to the company for a credit. And that's why they're able to apply the original $97,000 purchase price toward the price of the new cameras and then only pay $12,800 on top. If they had kept the original cameras, they would have had to buy basically from scratch completely the new upgraded cameras.
I'm just saying, I don't have this kind of customer service problem with Amazon.
Well, maybe Amazon will unveil a line of police body cameras.
If the city would just get Amazon Prime, they could have had these in 2 days, direct deposit.
Funny you say that. Councilman Willie Jennings was a little concerned that it has taken, in his words, almost basically 8 months since the cameras were approved and they're still not being worn by officers. He said, we need to put a rush order on these.
Well, it sounds problematic. If you were to tell this to somebody, they'd be like, really? I mean, that sounds
The real
right.
tragedy here is that if the cameras had been correct when they arrived, no guarantee, but if all the IT issues had been worked out, there's a possibility Tyler Cook and other police officers would have been wearing one of these the night of June 18th. And obviously then we would have firsthand video of what happened that night.
At a cost of $97,000 plus almost $13,000 more, how many devices?
That's about 75, I believe. And I'm told that should be enough for all officers that are on shift at once to all be wearing one.
And trade off. Right.
There's a policy that's been drafted for when they actually have to be turned on into recording mode. That policy hasn't been finalized yet, so the public hasn't gotten a peek into it yet. But I'm told that once the cameras are ready to be worn, the policy will be finished, and then we'll be able to, you know, public will actually be able to see when the officers will be required to switch the cameras on.
Wow. All right. Good information. Thanks for joining us today, Caleb.
Thanks so much, Derek.
Hey, be sure to watch the Daily Journal's Capitol View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capitol Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated in Jackson. Watch live on Monday afternoons at 2 o'clock or catch the replay later in the day. The 2016 legislative session is now over, but Bobby will continue to provide perspective about the news coming out of the state capitol. So look for a new episode of that today at djournal.com, or you can listen to Bobby right now because he's on the memo. Hey, Bobby, welcome back.
Hey, Brad, how you doing?
All right, sir. Let's talk about internet sales tax. I just I just bought some music over the weekend on Google Play, and they didn't charge me any sales tax. Am I supposed to report that now?
You are.
Well, I better tell the wife.
If that was your attorney, I'd advise you to not say anything else unless you do report that.
I only spent like $10. My wife does the taxes anyway.
Well, there you go, 70 cents.
I'll tell her to do that, yeah. Like I'm going to volunteer to pay extra tax. But that's what your story is about, Bobby, is self-reporting taxes, because not everything you buy on the internet is taxed.
That's right. This came up last week when the working groups that you recall that House Speaker Philip Gunn and Lieutenant Governor Tate Reeves formed to look at the state's taxing and spending practices and maybe make some recommendations for changes. A representative from Senatopia, Trey Lamar, he suggested that one thing the working group should look at is the internet sales tax. And there have been studies saying the state's losing as much as $300 million a year on items bought on the internet. Those items aren't taxed at the 7% that if you go to Reed's department store or whatnot, that you're going to pay if you buy an item there. But the problem is that there's a federal Supreme Court ruling saying that the state cannot force a company to collect the sales tax if the company does not have a actual bricks and mortar location within your state. And right. So Amazon, which is the big one, and you mentioned Google and the music, of course, they don't have a bricks and mortar location within Mississippi, so Mississippi cannot force them to collect that sales tax. But the state law does say if you can't, the company doesn't collect the sales tax, that you're supposed to self-report it on your state income tax returns. Of course, that's not being done to any degree whatsoever, and the state's losing millions of dollars by internet sales.
Yeah, in 2012, they amended the state income return form to include a line to allow you to self-report. Like I said, my wife does my taxes, so I never knew that line was even there.
I didn't either. So, I don't. Honest. And if you look at it, I think the most that's been collected through that process is $270,000, which is if the state's losing $300 million, that's a lot for you and me, but chump change for the state.
And let's be honest, most people like myself aren't going to hold on to our receipts and be that organized to keep up with all these purchases that I don't even know. I mean, I don't even notice if there's a sales tax half the time if I buy something online anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
So I really just collecting it, Bobby, is the main issue. I don't know how you enforce it.
No, it's going to take Congress, and I think a couple years ago, legislation did pass the Senate to put in place a method to collect that. It didn't make it through the process. Interestingly, both our senators, Thad Cochran and Roger Wicker, both voted in favor of that legislation. And, you know, a lot of politicians who, you know, make their hay by being against tax increases are for this, and some aren't, but the reason that politicians say they're for it, who might be averse to raising other taxes, is it does put the sort of the mom and pop businesses on Main Street at a disadvantage. Those businesses, or the big box stores too, for that matter, they had to collect the 7% sales tax. But if you order something online, there's no way to collect it, so it kind of puts them at a disadvantage.
Well, I mean, so what do you see going forward with this, Bobby? What can they do? Like you said, is this going to take an act of Congress, or you can't really do anything at the state level?
I think so. Of course, you know, they can put more emphasis, you know, on it's kind of advertising, I guess, if they wanted to, for the Department of Revenue could, that, you know, you do have a obligation if you buy something online to report that. And Trey Lamar, you know, I was talking to a House member from Tate County who was talking about this last week at the work study group meeting. So, you know, he believes there's ways to do it to get using UPS or FedEx, which do have locations within Mississippi, sort of make them the middleman in some way, have them collect it. I'm not sure how that would work. I mean, but that's something they could explore in these working groups as they go forward. And it's interesting to look at. You know, of course, if you go to Memphis to buy a car, for instance, Brad.
Yeah.
That's going to be, you know, going from Tupelo to Memphis to buy a car, and that car is going to be used in Tupelo. You're obligated to pay the sales tax on that car. It's not 7% for a car. What is it, 3 or 4%? But and there's a mechanism to collect that when you go buy a car tag. You have to pay those sales taxes. Even if you buy a car from me, if I sell you one of my used cars for, you know, $300, which is about all it's worth, you're obligated, when you go to get a car tag for that car, you're obligated to pay the sales tax that they collected there at the courthouse.
Yeah.
And there's other, but if you buy something out of state, this is to be used, and there's not a sales tax, and it's going to be used in Mississippi. Sometimes they don't charge a sales tax out of state, but you're obligated to pay that sales tax in Mississippi. So there's other areas where that sales tax is collected, other than internet sales, catalog sales, and here's another example of that.
Okay.
So we'll just see what happens. But my guess is it's going to take an act of Congress to kind of get this thing fixed.
All right. Well, y'all can read Bobby's story in Sunday's Journal or at djournal.com. And again, got Capital View with Bobby today, so be sure to check that out at djournal.com. Thanks, Bobby.
Thank you. Y'all take care.
Yeah. And be sure to check out the two sports podcasts we produce here at the Daily Journal. We've got Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast with myself and Gene Phelps every Wednesday. You can watch the webcast actually around 11 a.m. and the podcast version drops later that day. Got football season coming up, so we've got a lot to talk about, certainly on the high school scene. You can listen to that for free in iTunes, your podcast app, or at preprally.djournal.com. And then Ole Miss and MEC fans, be sure to check out Double Coverage with Parrish Alford and Logan Lowry, our Ole Miss and Mississippi State beat reporters. Both teams starting preseason camp within the past few days, and the season's coming up for them, so a lot for them to talk about. You can listen to their show every Thursday afternoon. You can listen to that in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com. Time now for today's news memo, and for more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. The Lee County tax sale will be conducted online this year. The Board of Supervisors approved the switch from a live auction to an online format. New legislation enacted this year by state lawmakers allowed counties the online option. The sale is scheduled for August 29th. Supervisors approved Jackson-based GovEase to provide the online portal for the sale. Users of the system will pay a $10 fee for every parcel they bid on. The fee will provide access to certain kinds of information about the properties for bid. Lee County tax collector Leroy Belk said the online system will allow more bidders to participate and thereby increase the county's revenue.
Roden's Music in Tupelo will downsize at the end of August and move to a studio inside the Link Center. Monica Roden Spencer will continue to sell selected piano and vocal lesson books and to teach private music lessons. The store provided more than 100 music teachers with print music and teaching materials over the years. Spencer plans to keep as much of the teaching materials as the new space allows. The move to close the storefront location comes as the rise of electronic sheet music and digital instrument tuners has hurt the business. Roden's opened in 1993. It was originally located beside the old Walmart before moving to the West Main Shopping Center. A year ago, they moved down the street across from Choice Pawn.
Mississippi Attorney General Jim Hood said he will file a motion asking the United States Supreme Court to hear a Virginia case on whether local school districts must allow students to use the bathroom of the gender that they identify with. Hood is Mississippi's only statewide elected Democrat. He was criticized in May when he refused to join a separate multi-state lawsuit by the Texas Attorney General challenging a federal ruling on the issue. Hood said on Thursday that he declined to join the Texas suit because he was already involved in the Virginia case. He thinks the Virginia case will reach the Supreme Court sooner. Hood said the bathroom decision should be made by local professional educators instead of by lawyers.
Public libraries in Tupelo and Fulton are asking for city and county leaders to help reduce the impact of state budget cuts. Tupelo library officials are seeking $7,800 each from the City of Tupelo and the Lee County Board of Supervisors. Itawamba library officials are seeking $3,800 each from the City of Fulton and Itawamba County Board of Supervisors. Since 2010, the Tupelo Library has seen a 20% state budget cut despite a 15% rise in patrons. The Itawamba Library saw an 18% increase in patrons during that same time period. Neither library plans to cut hours or fire staff, but they may have to rethink their materials and community outreach budgets.
Thomas Street Elementary School students who walk or bike to school soon will have a safer commute. New sidewalks will be installed near the school through the Safe Routes to School program. That is a federally funded grant program administered through each state's Department of Transportation. The project will connect Thomas Street Elementary to Hancock Park with a sidewalk constructed alongside Bryan Drive and Monument Drive between the two locations. The grant could fund as much as 75% of the project's price tag, depending on the construction's final cost. The work is projected to be finished in October.
Hey, Brad, it's Monday.
Yeah, it sure is, Derek.
Unfortunately.
Eh, well.
But there are some things that make Monday more bearable.
Yes.
Like knowing that Friday's coming soon.
I was going to say like coffee.
Or that. Methamphetamines, you know, anything. Nah. Speaking of methamphetamine, hey, anything in the crime reports happening?
Oh, hey, yeah. We got crime reports today. We've got quite a few. We got some shenanigans going on.
Are they evil shenanigans?
Mostly just amusing or disturbing.
All righty.
Let's start at Dollar General, because why not? Officers were called to the Dollar General on East Main about a bald man wearing shorts yelling at cars around 4 p.m.
Now, wait a minute. That's profiling. That's right there.
He's a bald man.
It's not me.
Wearing shorts.
Yeah.
Anyway, the officer found the man with an outstanding warrant and an open container in the car. Excuse me. The officer found another man with an outstanding warrant and an open container in the car with the suspect.
The car that he was yelling at?
I don't know. His car. He was in the Dollar General parking lot.
I need you to be reporting. I need you to start calling and checking up on these more. Well,
a County Road 45 Shannon man said he friended a Chicago woman on Facebook and sent her $200 because she said she would send him $2,000 in 30 minutes. He never got the money.
Wow.
Okay.
How does that work? Well,
I don't know.
If you give me $200,
give you $2,000 in 30 minutes.
That's a processing fee.
So, like, if you give me a quarter, I'll give you two nickels, or?
Hey, I'm this random woman from Chicago. Let me give you $2,000 for no apparent reason. But first, you send me $200.
This is the worst company ever.
This is like the worst, laziest scam ever, and you fell for it.
Send me $200, and I'll send you $2,000.
Do you have to pay internet tax on it?
Yeah, that's an important question. If it's PayPal and it's you're sending money to friends, there's no penalty there. You don't have to pay anything on that.
I'm just guessing her profile picture wasn't actually her either.
I'm going to guess it wasn't a her.
Well, you could be right about that, too.
Need to contact MTV's Catfish for more on this story.
Yes. Wow. Really? I just... People fall for the dumbest
things. Give me $200 and I'll give you $2,000. So, is that like teach a man to fish and he can feed himself? But
yeah, it's like, I mean, whenever these things happen, like whenever you get those spam emails and you're like, why do people keep sending them? Someone must fall for it, but they keep trying it. Well, I guess this is the guy that falls for it.
I just got a call from Jamaica a while ago. I'm pretty sure that was legit.
Yeah, but the Prince of Nigeria has really been trying to get in touch with me, guys. I didn't even know there was a Prince of Nigeria.
This was probably the Jamaican prince that needs to get a hold of me to send me some money.
I think that the Jamaican ones try to give you new security alarm systems.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Yeah, man.
I didn't answer. Should have answered and put him on the podcast. What I should have done. Put him on speaker. Anyway, what's next? I like this one.
Okay.
A man said he saw a kid ride up to a West Jackson Street store on a bike that looked a lot like one stolen from his son.
Hey, wait a minute.
When asked, the boy said he got it from a friend. The man said if it had a broken handbrake and a loose kickstand, it was his son's. The man called 911, and the kid went in the store and left through another door. So I guess it was his son's.
So, short story, he got his son's bike back.
Yes.
All right.
Good for him. Because I've had my kid's bike stolen before and never seen him again.
Then again, were the cops just like, just take it. We'll look the other way. We're not really sure. Like, when I went to Disney World a couple of years ago, we went to the first ride we went to, we parked the stroller. And I took my daughter to the ride, and we came back out, and the stroller was gone. And the cops were nice enough to look around, but, like, literally, we were gone 10 minutes, and somebody stole our stroller. And the cops were like, just take that one. And I was like, are you kidding me? And they're like, no. I was like, this is going to keep happening all day, because now these people are going to come out and say their stroller's gone. I was like, they all look around, like, who could tell? This is yours. I was like, that's not mine. Like, it was the exact same kind. But mine was new, and this had the tread was worn off of the tires and everything. Like, it was obvious it'd been around the block a few times. They were like, just take it. I was like, Disney cops, come on. This is not the happiest place on earth.
That's awesome. Okay. A man was sitting in the City Thrift parking lot and watched a roughly 60-year-old man keying a car in the parking lot. And then he threw down the key. When the man confronted the vandal, he said at first that he did not have a key. The suspect then picked up the key, got into a roofing company truck, and drove away. I don't have a key. What are you talking about? There's no key. I didn't do nothing.
Oh, wait, bye. It's in the ignition. That's it. Bye.
Okay, and then he's like, well, crap, I need that key.
Right.
Just remembered.
I can't keep this ruse going for too long.
He works for a roofing company. Cool. Didn't say which one.
Hit it under one of the shingles.
people. Okay, here's a long one.
They're the worst.
Here's a lengthy one.
Thank you for the warning.
A woman called police, and this one's confusing as heck. A woman called police and said her ex-boyfriend followed her into the West Main Kroger parking lot. When she got out of the car, she says that he punched her in her shoulder that had surgery recently.
Oh, he knew.
While waiting for the ambulance to arrive, the officer went inside to look at the store's surveillance video. The footage showed the woman pulling up, but no other cars approaching before police arrived, and no male confronting the woman.
Oh.
When the officer went back outside, the female had left. A check revealed the woman was known by another name and had two outstanding warrants for shoplifting.
No.
So what was she even doing? I guess trying to get her boyfriend in trouble?
Trying to get him in trouble?
Her ex-boyfriend in trouble?
Those are cameras on top of the building, sweetheart. Surely you know.
Criminals aren't that observant.
Wouldn't it just been easier to say it happened at home where there were no cameras?
That's why. Yeah, you'd think so.
Unless he had the city's body cameras that they were giving out as freebies?
She was just at Kroger and was like, I think I want to get my ex in trouble.
I think this is as good a place as any to take him down. We'll just say he punched me in the shoulder where I had surgery because he knows I had surgery there.
Then the cop's like, let me go check the surveillance. He's like, what do you need to do? What surveillance? What?
He didn't take her with him.
BRB. What?
He didn't take her with him.
No, he just walked inside to check surveillance and she was gone.
Shocking.
Yeah. All right, we got two more quick ones here.
What would have been funnier is if she was punching herself in the parking lot.
This is the Jim Carrey thing, yeah. Liar, liar.
I'm kicking my butt.
A Nettleton man said while he was at Mike's Quick Stop, an acquaintance came up and hit him in the face with his fist for no apparent reason. Hey, buddy. Bam.
He spoke to me.
An acquaintance, dude.
He must have done something to tick the guy off.
Not a good acquaintance.
I don't know why he hit me. I mean,
I only tried to marry his dog. Sorry. Yay, why'd you punch the guy?
How does it feel?
How does it feel to be on your own? What? That's the footage I want to see. I don't care about the woman getting punched in her shoulder by the surgery shoulder. I want to see this guy. Hey, Bob. Just deck him.
I need to go stop by Mike's Quick Stop, see if they got footage of that.
Sir, do you have security footage? Nah, it's a dummy camera.
It erases itself every 8 hours.
We got it from Watchtower. They said it's the wrong kind.
I thought rule number one of Fight Club.
You don't talk about it.
He didn't talk about it. He just came
in. It's not supposed to happen at Mike's Quick Stop either.
You're not supposed to report the guy. You just go fight.
Yeah.
Did you do anything to agitate him? I just said, hey. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
For real. Okay, here we go. Last one. This is like the most Lee County thing ever.
I know this one.
A County Road 810 Moorville man said a neighbor came outside around 11:30 p.m., was cursing, and fired a handgun one time. The suspect then went back inside.
Dang satellites trying to get my thoughts from my head. Ping.
Gall darn reckon frecken.
And so the guy reports his neighbor doing this?
Yeah.
That's when you put a for sale sign in the yard.
Yes.
That's unfortunate.
Just fired his handgun in the air and went back inside.
This was Morville?
Got it out of his system, yeah.
Dude, he was trying to scare off the people.
That could be what it was. Maybe he was
trying to get away from my house. Just fire off one.
He heard the Morville Woods people lurking outside and just trying
to. They were coming. He's just being proactive. Yeah. That's all that is.
The
neighbor shouldn't have called that in. The neighbor should have got his gun and started firing.
Now the Woods people will come for him for reporting to the police.
Even more reason to put a for sale sign in your yard.
Woods people don't like snitch.
Snitches get stitches. or they get dragged off into the woods and made one of them.
Or one of them shows up in your yard apparently naked like last week.
Hey, Bob. Just punched them in the face.
Maybe that's why he got punched. Maybe that was the guy.
That's that naked guy.
So actually, I thought I knew where you were going with that. But what about the okra one?
Oh, gosh, yeah, I should have done that one. I totally forgot about that one. Yeah, there was one where someone pulled up in someone's driveway and just threw a bunch of okra stalks into their driveway and drove off. No okra, just the stalks. That's it.
Is it the same person that wrecked into the mailbox and left their car at the house? That's one of my favorite ones recently.
So. I think that was on the Friday reports. I don't know how I missed that one when I was going through to look at some. Yeah, he just pulled up. There it is. It's happening in Shannon. This guy just pulled into his driveway by 6 o'clock, got out, threw okra stalks on his property, and then drove away. Like, wow, that'll take me like 2 minutes to clean up. Okay, I've seen people throw nails and such on your driveway, so then you have to...
Okra
stalks.
Believe it's the plot of Fast and the Furious 8.
Fighting okra.
Yeah, I don't know. Throwing okra. Yeah, did they have an Ole Miss flag out or something? They were just... Were they Delta State fans?
Delta State
just,
for life.
Yeah. Run out in the driveway.
Roll okra.
Roll okra. Hashtag roll okra. All right, that's it for police reports. You can find more of these at tipsheet.djournal.com.
You know what I saw on the way to work this morning?
No telling.
A lot of rolled houses. Like a lot.
Oh, people getting TP?
Yeah. Rolled?
Is that a school starting thing maybe?
Well, the school started last week. Why are we doing it on a Sunday night? Like they weren't done yesterday.
Oh, gosh. That just made me
I passed four on the way here this morning.
That just made me think. We have a lot of... We you know, we moved recently.
You're my in last trouble. House
had my last house. We had zero trees. We've got so many trees now, and foliage, and bushes, and hedges. It's not
you've
even
got
funny.
So many kids. That's
I know.
Like
I've got three teenage daughters. So
that's like 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
One of their friends
be able to figure
one of their
out.
Friends is going to talk them into rolling our house at some point. I just know it.
Well, that's okay. You get that
because we've got like this huge, huge oak tree in the front yard.
But you also have five kids to clean it up. You won't have to be doing it.
True.
Yeah.
True that.
Yeah. I go outside and if you're going to ruin things, come in here. We ain't got no ceiling.
Oh, by the way, I told the story on my tip sheet blog the other day. Speaking of kids rolling yards.
House is haunted.
I don't think I've told this before, but I was in high school and I was spending the night at my buddy's house and we were just hanging out and we looked out the window and saw these like junior high age kids rolling the neighbor's yard.
Mm-hmm. Just, you went over there and helped.
So
you went over there and helped.
So we grabbed a shotgun or two.
Dear Lord, Brad.
We were in our boxers.
Oh God.
Well, we're not.
You were a Morville neighbor.
No, well, pretty much. We went out the back door and came tearing around the side of the house, holding shotguns and screaming like banshees, and scared the pee out of these kids. They just took off running down the street. It was amazing.
Only thing
they thought they were going to die.
Only thing that would have made that story better is if you were naked.
I was in my boxers, though. we decided being in just our boxers would make it even scarier.
Yeah, I agree.
Or if you're Van Ballinger.
Yeah. Just the trench coat, nothing else. Just run
over the shotgun. Get out of here, kids.
Sawed-off shotgun. Oh, God, this is my nightmare. This is always how I picture not die.
Oh, man. That's great. Good memories.
Times, good times.
Good times. Okay. So if any kids try to come roll my yard, I may pull that one out of the hat again.
You will be shot.
No. I don't have a shotgun, though. I've got pistols. I'll just come out, pistol in each hand, yelling, get off my dang lawn, kids. Start firing in the air. It'd be great.
What's your name, dude?
What you wearing them weird moccasins? Said Nikkei.
I was trying to think of what's your. No, it was dog. What's your name, dog?
Yeah. What's your name, dog? Hey, doggy. Here, doggy. Roll my yard again. See what happens.
So glad I've not blocked 99% of that from my memory.
Good times.
Yes. Tell them where they can find us, Brad.
They can find us online at memo.djournal.com. You can listen there. You can listen in iTunes, listen in your podcast apps like Player.fm, Satchel, stuff like that. You can find us on Twitter at djournalmemo. You can find more on these stories we talked about today in your daily journal or at djournal.com. And the journal, follow the journal on Twitter, if you will, for the latest updates on what's happening. It's at djournal now. I'm on Twitter at Brad Locke. Derek at W. Derek Russell. Chris is at Chris Kiefer.
I've actually changed mine. It's at Brad Locke.
No, it's not. And that is it for this show, my friends.
Tis.
We are done.
Do it again in a couple of days?
We sure will.
Okay.
Hope everybody has a superb rest of the Monday.
Okay.
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 Don't say that. You're not a teenage girl. Stop it. All right. We'll see you next time.
Okay.